We're going to keep the lights down here tonight because I'm just going to kind of share some kind of brief thoughts, almost more or less in a devotional form, and then we're going to take communion tonight because I can't think of anything better to do on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving than to really remember and give thanks for the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind, obviously in the person of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So the point that I really want to make here going into whatever comments that I do share related to this whole issue of Thanksgiving is that we want to be careful, you know. I mean, Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday, and I have absolutely no problem with it, and I really like turkey. But we need to remember that Thanksgiving is something that we are to be doing all the time. Thanksgiving Day is a wonderful reminder, but it is a reminder for us as Christians that Thanksgiving is to be a lifestyle for us, a lifestyle of rejoicing, a lifestyle of giving thanks, a lifestyle of praising the Lord. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to share some scriptures with you, and then we're going to take a look at a particular passage that I love and I've shared with you many times before on this subject, but it's particularly surrounds the issue, at least what we're going to end on here tonight, kind of surrounds the issue of, yeah, but what if I don't feel like giving thanks, or what if there's really nothing in my life right now that seems to kind of elicit any kind of thanksgiving and so forth. But grab your Bibles real quick. I hope you've got enough light to see with. But I'll just run you through a few passages if I could quickly. You know what, guys? Let's go ahead and turn up the lights just for this time of kind of being in the Word. Just Jim, if you'll just for a minute. I don't think it's going to kill anything except maybe a few germs. Go to 1 Chronicles for starters, will you? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to just take you to a couple of passages here in the Old Testament. We'll just do a couple in the New. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Remember where 1 Chronicles is? It's there. Just keep looking. Chapter 16, verse 8. It says, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. And one of the reasons I wanted to start off with this particular passage tonight is because I want this to set the stage for something we're going to do after communion. And that is this whole thing of telling of all His wonderful acts. After we finish with communion this evening, and the reason I'm telling you this now is I want you to be thinking about it, but we're going to give you an opportunity to stand right where you are after we finish communion and tell of all His wonderful deeds. Well, not all of them. We'd be here all night. But at least tell of one of His wonderful deeds. How you like that? Or something that is very much on your heart that you desire to give thanks for. To do it. I got to tell you, there's something wonderful about a public declaration of praise. And even though public speaking is people's number one fear, and I know that, it's still good to praise the Lord. Okay? And so be thinking about something that you believe that the Lord might have you just to briefly share in the way of giving thanks. Now I want you to go over to the Psalms. Psalm 92, if you would, please. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 92, verse 1. It says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. The psalmist is obviously just lifting up a voice of praise and saying that it's a good thing to praise the Lord, to proclaim. I like how it says here, your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, and so forth. Now, a couple of passages from the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please. Starting with verse 19. Ephesians 5:19. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you read that sometimes and you kind of think, you know, is God serious that He wants me to give thanks for everything? You know, the fact of the matter is, we don't always know what God has going on in our lives. We don't know how God's going to use situations and circumstances in our lives. And frankly, in the lives of other people as well. And, you know, no matter how difficult a situation may be, there's always something to give thanks for. And one of them is that God is sovereign. And that God has promised to work all things together for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. No matter what you may be going through, no matter what situation you may be facing or circumstances that you are dealing with, and as difficult as those may be, God is still in charge. God is still on His throne. God is still ruling and reigning in majesty and power and glory. And that's something to give thanks for. That the situations and the circumstances that have come into your life or perhaps into the life of another has not caught God unaware. That He is still Lord. He is still sovereign. And He still rules and reigns, even in the midst of those situations. Now go over to Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4, not very far, obviously. Very next book over. Philippians chapter 4 and a verse that some of you who've been raised in a Christian home probably memorized from your earliest days of reading the Bible and hearing the Scriptures. Verse 6 from Philippians chapter 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything. And that's a nice way of saying don't worry. Okay? It's a lot easier said than done, of course, but it says don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and petition, notice this, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So rather than spending time worrying and fretting, Paul says here to us, bring it to the Lord. Bring it in prayer, bring it in petition, lay it before God, and do it with thanksgiving. Lace it with thanksgiving. We forget this, don't we? We do. We forget to bring our petitions before the Lord. Because, you know, when you're fearful, you're pretty much, well, I won't say you. I'll just say me, because at least that's what I know about. When I'm fearful and when I'm fretting about something, all I'm thinking about is me. Bottom line. And so I'm thinking about my comfort. I'm thinking about my peace and how I want those things restored. And so what I often do is I come before the Lord and all I got to say to Him is help. Help. And here's what's going on. Here's what I need you to do. But Paul says, bring those things before the Lord with thanksgiving. It's incredible, people, when we begin to walk in an attitude of thanksgiving, even in the midst of our difficulties, and to begin to praise and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy and His loving kindness. Yes, that's my granddaughter. She does that with Grandpa sometimes. But to really thank the Lord in the midst of those things, it really begins to change your perspective. And many of you know that. To begin just to talk to the Lord about the wonderful things that he's brought into your life. It really helps put things into perspective. And Paul says here that when you're bringing those things that you would otherwise be very anxious about, rather bring them with thanksgiving. Just lay them out before the Lord. I'm going to read a couple more for you. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there because I'm just going to run through these. In case you're taking notes, however, this is in Colossians 3. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Notice that. With gratitude in your hearts to God. And then he goes on to say, and whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica and said, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then finally, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, and I love this because this is really insightful. He says, for everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So nothing is to be rejected. It is from the Lord. He's created all things. Receive it with thanksgiving. We could sit and meditate on that for a while. Then I want to take you, as a final passage here before we do communion, back to Psalms, if I could please. And this time I would like you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 13. I've taught on this. Some of you guys who have been around for a number of years have heard me teach on this. But I keep coming back to it whenever I think about this whole idea of giving thanks, because I know that human nature being what it is, we often find ourselves in places where we just frankly just don't want to give thanks. We would rather complain, you know, and kind of tell God how lousy it is. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling God how you feel. If there's anything David created for us in the way of a model of prayer, it was to get real with God. You know what I mean? I mean, I love David for, he got real with the Lord. You know, he'd basically tell God, you know, I'm really hurting big time. And in fact, in this particular psalm right here, he even lays somewhat of an ultimatum before the Lord. And so read with me here. He begins by starting off by saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And you know, if you didn't read any more of this psalm, that would be enough to tell you what kind of a situation Paul is in currently. He's in an unbearable situation. He's in a situation that he feels has gone on long enough already. He wants it to end in no uncertain terms. And he is crying out to God to bring it to a conclusion, to bring it to a resolution. Some of you are going through situations right now and you're just coming before God continuously and you're saying, God, when is this going to be done? When is this going to be over? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of being hampered by this situation. I want it to end, and I want it to end now. And you're not alone. I want you to know that. And David felt the same thing. First thing he says to God is, how long? How long is this going to go on? In fact, the very next thing he even says is he tells God how he feels about his relationship with him at that time. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? And he's telling God in no uncertain terms, I feel as if you've turned away. Because of the fact that I am enduring this situation currently without resolution, I'm feeling very much, and I want you to know this, I need you to know this, I feel like you've turned away from me. I feel like you're not listening to my prayers. Have you ever been there? I've had people come to me on numerous, dozens of occasions and say that very thing. Pastor Paul, I don't believe God is hearing my prayer. I understand. I understand. Believe me, I understand. You think that's never been felt by anybody else? David felt it. That's what he's saying right here. How long are you going to just ignore me? How long are you going to just turn your head, turn your face, turn your ear, turn a deaf ear to what I'm saying to you and so forth? And then there's that issue of all the thoughts that we deal with, you know, when we're going through a hard time, when it's not finding resolution, when it's just going on. And what kind of thoughts go through your mind? You know, God doesn't love me. God has abandoned me. I mean, you name it. You name it. The worst of the worst goes through your mind, right? Have you ever noticed that we have this propensity? in our human nature to think the worst always and rarely to think the best. You ever notice that? We almost always think the worst and we rarely think the best. And David goes on in this next verse and he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And every day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy just triumph over me? David felt like he was a man who was just laying down and letting his enemy just walk over his back. And he felt like there was nothing he could do about it because God wasn't helping him. He was crying out to God day and night and it wasn't getting any better. The circumstances weren't changing. And David was in a tough place. And that's why he goes on in this next verse, verse 3, he says, look on me. Have you ever done that when you're trying to talk to somebody and they're looking away? And you say, look at me when I'm talking to you. You know, you do that to your kids sometimes. You're sitting there telling your kid and they're kind of doing one of those numbers. But, you know, when you're talking to somebody, you really want them to hear you say, now look at me. And David is saying, I want you to look at what's happening in my life. I want you to look on my circumstances. I want you to look at what's going on here. He says, look on me and answer, O Lord my God. And here's where he kind of gives the Lord an ultimatum. He says, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And I don't really mean to say it's like this threatening sort of an ultimatum, but it's more of a saying to God, you know, if you don't help me, this is what's going to happen. And when he says, I will sleep in death, that's a very poetic way of saying, I'm going to die. And if you take away the poetry and you just say it like you say it, you're basically saying, God, help me or I'm a dead man. And if there's anybody that thinks that isn't polite to say that to God, I don't know. I disagree. I think God longs for His children to come and tell Him what's really on their hearts. And I don't think He's offended when His children are real with Him and tell Him what they really feel. Because you know what? I got a little secret for you. He knew it anyway. He sees your heart like you and I look through a window. He knew what was in there anyway. It's not like you were hiding anything by just not letting the words come out of your mouth. You might as well tell Him how you feel. Tell Him how that situation that you're going through makes you feel. The point of what I really want to bring up here is really taken up in these last two verses of this psalm. Because you're going to notice that David changes the tide here when he says in verse 5, first of all, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. Let me tell you something. I know many of you have, and maybe even some of you are going through circumstances right now that you're in the midst of and they're not coming to an end. And the last thing you think God's love is unfailing at a time like that. Okay? And why? Because you don't feel like His love is unfailing. You know what, Christians? Let me tell you something why David referred to God's love as unfailing here. It's because God said it. It's because God said His love was unfailing. And if God says His love is unfailing, guess what? His love is unfailing. He doesn't tell a lie. He tells the truth. Now, does that mean you're not going to feel sometimes like His love has failed you? No, not at all. You're definitely going to feel that. I think David was feeling, in a sense, it was just going to be his emotions speaking. He was going to come out and say, God, I think you've abandoned me. I don't think you like me anymore. I think you've abandoned my life and my circumstances. But David didn't say that. What David said was what was true. Do you ever notice that? He was just telling God what was true. What I'm feeling is true. But what you've said about yourself, that's true too. You see? And so, even in the midst of this difficult circumstance and the pain that I'm feeling right now, I am not going to deny what you've said is true about yourself. And I'm going to affirm what you've said is true about yourself. And so David begins to say, but, you know, and that's huge. I mean, to turn the tide on everything he's been saying and say, but I trust in your unfailing love. Look at what he goes, what else he says here in verse 5. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Do you think David felt like rejoicing? I don't. When you start off your prayer by saying how long, you know that that person is not feeling good about what's going on. And yet he says, my heart rejoices in what? My circumstances? No. Your salvation. There's something that I can rejoice in. Your salvation. Tonight we're going to get an opportunity here with the communion table to rejoice in the Lord's salvation. And no matter what's going on in your life, that we can rejoice in. That we've been saved. We've been saved from an eternity of separation from the Lord God by what He did for us on the cross. And that's something to rejoice in, people. And then I love the last part of this psalm because it is really a setting of His will when He says in verse 6, I will sing to the Lord for He has been good to me. And you guys have heard me teach this before, but the reason that's so significant is because once again, when you start off your prayer by saying, how long, O God, are you going to forget me forever? You know in your heart, you know that that person doesn't feel like singing. Have you come into church ever and come, you know, on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever, and you just waltzed in here and the last thing you felt like doing was singing? And you even kind of were just in your heart, you were just kind of thinking, I just can't. I just can't sing. I wish I could, but I can't. David determined he was going to set his will at this particular point. And he was going to rejoice in the Lord because the Lord was worthy to receive the praise. Not because his life was good at that time. Not because he felt good about what was happening. Not because he felt all that wonderful and warm, fuzzy things about God. Some people even say, and they'll even use it as an excuse, well, I'm kind of mad at God right now. He's still worthy of your praise. He's still worthy of your praise. Here's the question. You know what it all comes down to? Are you going to be a Christian based on your emotions? Or are you going to be a believer based on what is true? Because you know what? If you're anything like me, your emotions are this sometimes, then they're down here. Then they're up here, then they're down here. And so if your Christian walk is going to follow the path of your emotions, then you're going to come into church sometime going, yeah! You know, sort of a thing. Praise the Lord! And then you're going to come to church, you know, moping and doping, you know, and crying in your soup. What's wrong with you? I don't talk about it. I understand how circumstances can change your opinion of who God is and what He is. I know that. He dedicated a whole book to it. The book of Job. The book of Job. Job had his opinion of God changed too by his circumstances. And God came and challenged him at the end of the book with what he had concluded. And he said, who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge? And lest we do the same and make the same mistake, I think as Christians we need to make a determination in our heart. He's worthy to receive the praise and the honor and the glory no matter what. No matter what. And that's one of the reasons we started off tonight with that song we've been singing, you know, quite a bit lately. Blessed be the name. Do you know that song is taken right out of Job? It's taken right out of the book of Job, where at the beginning, Job was doing pretty good, even though he was losing so much. Job said, you know, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked will I depart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right before that, though, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He gives and takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what's happening, blessed be the name of the Lord.